Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verses 5 through 11 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 11. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 11. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that that same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for your words exactly as you gave them throughout the centuries and millenniums of past. Thank you that it's exactly as it was in heaven and is in heaven today. Now, Lord, would you help your people tonight? Lord, would we take an area of the Christian life, and one that's sometimes difficult, and would you magnify it tonight? And may we see what you have for us because of it. Would you show us the blessing of it? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I want you to sit back, relax, don't worry. I'm not digging into your wallet tonight, but I want to help you. I really want you to understand one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian, that of giving. Our society is obsessed with money. America has been known as a giving nation. That's one reason God blessed America. America is the feeder of the world. It's the giving nation of the world. Now, in the last 75 years, due to liberalism, due to communist philosophies, due to wicked politicians, we have become a welfare nation. We have created a government-dependent society to where if you don't get from the government, and if the government does not give you what you want, you're being cheated. George Peabody, the famous American merchant and philanthropist in the 1830s, made this statement, and I quote, "Looking forward beyond my stay on earth, I see our country becoming richer and more powerful. But to make her prosperity more than superficial, her moral and intellectual development should keep pace with her material growth." The last 3 years, you had people protesting Wall Street. Why is it that the same people are excited that the stock market's up over 15,000? If the Wall Street crowd's so bad, why is all the big to-do about the stock market on the rise? By the way, hold on, it's going to crash again real soon. It's all smoke and mirrors. We now live in a country to where our public school system, our colleges, our press, and our government have worked to dumb down our nation. And now we're $16.5 trillion in debt. I want you to truly enjoy the finances God's given you. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you noticed a word used. God said about your bounty, your bountifulness. God wants to give you, and God does give you a bounty. In other words, he gives you an abundance of things to enjoy. And by the way, this is why he gave it to you. He gave you your finances to enjoy what he has for you. I want you, and I want to show you how to maximize your enjoyment. I want to show you how to maximize your bounty. Let me show you what I mean. America is in trouble. 1927, you can go to any Google site you want to go to, research this yourself. Fact is fact. Here it is. 1927, which is 2 years before the crash and the Great Depression, America was $17 billion, with a B, dollars in debt, national debt. $17 billion. Our debt ratio, debt to GDP, was 29%. Okay? And we were on the verge of the Great Depression. During the depravity years of the Depression, during the 19, and I, people don't understand this, the crash of 32 is worse than the crash of 29. FDR did not take us out of the Depression. He prolonged it. He kept us in debt longer, started programs that put us farther in debt and prolonged the Depression. He did not pull us out. At the lowest level of the Depression, the GDP and debt ratio went up to 43%. That means for every $100 we brought in, we spent $143. Since 2008 was the lowest rate in the last 5 years of all this. 2008, our debt ratio was 72%. For every $100 America made, we spent $172. For the last 3 years running, we have been at 102% debt rate. That means for every $100 we make in America, we spend $204. And America is $16.5 trillion in debt. And now the press is saying, will the Republicans hold the national debt hostage over the Democrats? We got to get spending under control. I am not teaching tonight for God to bless the finances of our church. God's already doing that. I'm not teaching tonight so the church gets more money. I'm not worried about that. It's his work. He'll finance it his way. I want you to find the cheerfulness of giving, though. And I think if you'll give me the next 20, 25 minutes, I can teach you something that will enrich your life, enrich your bank account, and enrich you in such a way you'll have more than you know what to do with. Number one. This is nothing new, but it may help you. The tithe is required for obedience to God. He doesn't care about your attitude towards it. Amen. Malachi 3. Turn to Malachi 3. Just real quickly, I want to show you something. Malachi 3, most of you could quote it. You've been Baptist long enough. You know where it's at. You probably got it marked as not to read in your daily Bible reading. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord God of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Now look at me. There is a difference between a tithe and an offering. Let me help you. Tithe is a required, specified amount and bill. Word tithe means tenth. God said, of all your increase, you are to give 10%. Boy, if a government would work off percentages, everybody would be a whole lot better. That means everybody pays the same percent. You know, back in the 80s, one of the politicians running for president talked about a flat tax and got laughed out of the nomination, wished to God he would have got in because America would be a whole lot better off. Whether you make $5 or whether you make $5 million, everybody pays the same percentage. That's fairness. But the tithe. You can go back to the Old Testament. You can go to the New Testament. The word tithe just doesn't mean tenth, though. It means first tenth. If a man had sheep in the Old Testament, the Bible says once a year you were supposed to count your sheep, and you were to count them. The first one you put aside and let the next nine go. When sheep number 11 came, you put that one aside and you let them go. And every tenth sheep, starting with the first one, you put it aside, and there was your tithe. When you harvested your fields, you took your bushels of wheat and your bushels of corn and your bushels of beans and whatever else. You lined them up. You took the first one. You counted nine more. Took the 11th one. Counted nine more. Took the next one. And that was your tithe. It was to be the first tenth of everything. God didn't say it had to be the best. It was the first. Now listen carefully. Never does God say here, you have to have a good attitude about giving your tithe. It's required. Do you know requirements don't always make you happy? You're required to pay your mortgage. Doesn't always make you happy, does it? You're required to pay your electric bill. Doesn't make you happy unless you don't pay it and you don't have your electric. You're not required to pay your water and sewer bill, but if you don't have it, you're not happy. You know, Wells Fargo doesn't care what your attitude is. They just want their money. Say why? Because you made a debt and it's your obligation to pay that debt. God says your tithe, I don't give a flip what your attitude is, pay it. Now that's in the Bush version, not in the King James, amen? God doesn't say anything about what your attitude is about your tithe. By the way, God loveth a cheerful giver. He's not talking about your tithe. An offering is totally different. If you were bringing an offering, God said, I want you to set the best one aside. You find a lamb or a sheep that you want to offer as a sacrifice or as an offering, and I want you to make sure it has no scars on it. It's got to have all its teeth, can't have any broken bones. It's got to be perfect, complete, whole. It's got to be the best of your sheep. That is a sacrifice or an offering. That's in your abundance. When it comes to the tithe, God didn't say that one that comes through the gate's got to be the best one. He said it's the first of the ten, and the next of the ten, and the next of the ten, and the next of the ten. He didn't care what kind of shape it was in. You're just supposed to give the first of the ten. Didn't matter what shape it was in, you gave it. When it comes to an offering or a sacrifice, he said, I want your best. I want you to put aside the best of what you have for that. When you start giving those things, that's when you start getting happy. Some of you think you're happy just because you tithe. Folks, there's more blessings out there once you get past the tithe. That's what's required. Some of y'all are happy you have a house. Someday you're going to find out you need a savings account too. Make you a little happier. We're required to tithe. God says, if you don't tithe, it uses a very strong term. It says, wherein will you rob God? I'm going to use you for a second. Come on up here. This is a bad illustration, but here's God. Not what I pictured. Looks more like Buddha. No. Oh, my friend. What is a robbery? Robbery is when you forcefully take something away from someone else. It literally means at gunpoint, you have to hand over what you have. God says when you don't pay your tithe, you are holding him at gunpoint, taking what's his. That's what the word rob means. It's a little stronger than just, well, I went in and took it out of the cash register. No. It said, wherein will you rob God? You are actually holding a gun or a knife to God's head saying, give it to me. It's mine. I'm not giving it to you. Ooh. Thank you. In other words, that's the requirement. You don't pay your mortgage and in 3 or 4 months, they're going to come kick you out. You don't make your car payment, they're going to come take that thing away from you. Forcefully. Legally. Say why? Because you're robbing that company. Now, listen to me very carefully. Your tithe is as much of a bill as your house payment, your rent, your mortgage, your electricity, or anything else that you have as a debt. You need to pay it that way. You know, every time I write the check for my mortgage, I don't say, well, praise the Lord, I'm so happy I just spent all that money. No, it's a bill. I'm like you. I got to pay that stupid thing again. I can't tell you that I've always been happy about tithing. God doesn't care about what our attitude is, though. We're supposed to pay it. He does say, if we will, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing of which we cannot even receive the whole thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number two, God gives us all of our bounty. You realize everything you have in your bounty, God gave you. Say, what's my bounty? It's your house. It's your cars. It's the money in your account. It's your bills paid. It's your family. It's all the things that you've acquired. That's your bounty. It's your guns. Amen. I don't care what the vice president says. I'm not going to listen to him and tell my people not to buy guns. Vice president came out this week and has encouraged all pastors of Christian churches to tell their people to put their guns down, turn them in, and sign, and urge Congress to sign the laws not to have guns. He said it at a national meeting of religious organizers, and he's told the church what to teach. He's an idiot. Be cold day where the booger man lives before the vice president tells me what to teach anything. They also don't want to report that gun crime's down 69% in the last 10 years, and it's attributed to the amount of guns that have been purchased by honest people. Amen. That's what they're not telling you. God gives you everything. God here in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 11, uses the word bounty. Now, I know some of you that watch the old Westerns, you know, you go catch the bad guy and you receive your bounty. Okay? There was a bounty on that guy's head. Guess what? God said there's a bounty that you have. When you do what he's asked you to do, he gives you more than what you expected. Now listen very carefully. Offerings or sacrifices are to be the highest quality. You can't give a sacrifice if you didn't pay your bill. Do you know if you gave an offering, but you didn't pay your tithe, you didn't give an offering? If you didn't give your tithe, you owe God. By the way, and I won't go into it, but if you... Since you've been saved, you ought to be tithing. And if not, it's time to make payments back to God so that God can bless you. God says in his word specifically how much percent above the tithe you need to pay him back, but I'd start paying it back because you owe him. I'm not asking for the church, just so you know. I'm asking for you so that God can bless you. An offering is given after all your debts are paid. Listen to me very carefully. Some people have a false sense of what faith is. There's a fine line between faith and foolish. Faith means, okay, I've paid my mortgage, I've paid my electric bill, I've paid my water and sewer, I've paid all my other debts off, now I have a little bit left, and I can give an offering out of that. That's called giving an offering. taking what you owe on your mortgage payment and say, well, I want God to do something special, so I'm going to give my mortgage payment to the church this week and watch God bless me. And you don't pay your house bill, that's foolish. You are taking money from your mortgage company to quote unquote sacrifice. You're asking the mortgage company to sacrifice. You're not sacrificing. You have no right to ask your mortgage company to sacrifice so you can give to the church. Everybody doing okay? Not many Baptist preachers will tell you the truth. I'm going to. You have no right to make Berkeley County Public Sewer Water District, all those BCDS W words, or letters, good grief. You have no right to make the water and sewer department want your money that you owe them and give it to the church and say, well, I'll expect you to live by faith, but I give it to the church. That's foolishness. An offering comes of what you have left. Now, listen very carefully. Realize that all you have was given to you by God. Your health, your jobs, the ability to go work your job. Everything you have, God's given you. You realize sometimes God's kept you well, to keep you working so you could pay your bills. And that's one way God saved you money. Realize that sometimes God gives you extra special blessings that you can't count the cost. Amen. He blesses in unusual ways. Number three, okay? Number one, the tithe is required for obedience. God doesn't care what your attitude is about it. Number two, God gives us all of our bounty. Number three, this is where we'll finish tonight, maybe. Number three, there's joy in giving. There is joy in giving. Do you know when you help someone and you give to someone, it makes you feel good? I was at Sheets the other morning. I stop there a few times a week for a cup of coffee for the day. Amen? I was at Sheets the other day, and there was a lady that came in behind me, and she looked like she needed a double shot. Amen? She just had that frazzled look of, this is going to be a very long day. I saw that she had a cup of coffee. I'm not buying somebody's liquor, amen? But I was there. I was at the cash register. There were several people behind me, but she was the one directly behind me. I looked at the lady at the cash register, and I said, that lady's got a cup of coffee. I said, I'm going to pay for it here. She said, do you know her? I said, no, don't need to. She just looks like she needs a blessing. Don't tell her that it's paid for till I walk out that door, though. Say, who was she? I have no idea. Lady in her, probably in her 50s, late 50s, early 60s, looked like she'd had a hard day. And it's only 6:30 in the morning, amen? Thinking, that lady needs a blessing today, and I don't even know who she was. Day or two later, I came back in. She said, Reverend, she said, that lady you helped, she said, when I told her it was paid for, she started crying. I said, good. I said, I have that effect on people. She laughed. She said, I don't know you very well, but she said, she really was happy. I said, not as happy as I was doing it. My secretary told me the other day, and I'm going to tell on her. Every once in a while, she'll go to McDonald's, and she'll pay for the person behind her in the drive-thru. And it's funny because people at McDonald's don't know how to do it. You know, they've got these twits in there. I don't know if you can even do that. I got to call my manager. Hello. You know what? There's a blessing in that. Not calling the manager, but being nice to somebody. You know... There's the word in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. Look the word cheerful up in the Greek. It's a very interesting word. It is the word hilarious. Do y'all know what hilarious is? That means ridiculously funny. Yeah, Brother Nash. That's exactly what I think of. It is the word ridiculously funny. It means overwhelming. We used to call it a belly laugh. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Nothing better than a little child. And I'm talking about, you know, a 1, 2, 3-year-old, and they get into a belly laugh to where they're almost going to get the hiccups because they're laughing so hard. You laugh. Okay? God says that if you give, you can live a life that is joyful, cheerful, and hilarious. Brother Hiles, he used to tell the story. And it's true because I traveled with him once and I watched him do it. I was coming back from Mexico with him. And you got to realize this was 20 years ago. Anybody under the age of 30 probably doesn't understand this, but y'all know what a pay telephone is? Okay. It's one of those things you got to feed the thing money. I watched Brother Hiles. He'd had a whole pocket full of quarters. He said, watch this. He started loading up the change returns on a couple of those phones. He said, just stand back here and watch this. We stood back off. You know, you see people walk by, you know, people in business suits like they're real tough and they're checking that thing. All of a sudden, this one guy, he walked by. Like he won the lottery, you know, the slot machine just started giving back. He checked the next two, you know, both, he had three of them loaded up. He cashed in on all those. Brother Hiles over here just dying. He said, isn't that fun? He said, he thinks he's having fun. I'm having more fun watching him. That's called a cheerful giver. That's called being cheerful. You wish you were the one, yeah, everybody's going to check all the payphones, you know. You can't find them anymore. Don't worry. There's no such thing as a pay telephone hardly anymore. You know, God will show you how fun it can be to give if you'll just start giving. I want to show you something. God gives back to givers. Turn to Luke chapter 6. God gives back to givers. This is not a new verse to you, but it will hold new meaning to you right now. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God says, if you will give, men will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God said that he'll give you so much according to as you give, people will give back. Good night. My dad is a giver. He and I have gone out turkey hunting, what, 3 or 4 times this year? We always stop and get a cup of coffee. First day he bought. Second time I said, stay in the truck, watch the guns, I'm going in. Well, here's the money. Nope, I got it. Next day, let me give you some money. No, I got it. Third day, he's got the money out. I still didn't take it. I shoved the money back down because the truck was dark and he couldn't see it, amen? Say, why? He's given so much time for me to give back, but it's almost like a competition. Who can give, who can't? I got to tell this story. Jeff, you'll know this is... Brother Hiles was the hardest man to buy a meal for in the world. He would refuse somebody else to pay the bill. And I mean, to the point of getting angry. My wife and I were sitting in a restaurant in Munster, Indiana one night, sitting there minding our own business, and in walked Brother and Mrs. Hiles. And they probably sat as far away from me as Buck and Brenda are, but they didn't see us. My wife said, there's Brother and Mrs. Hiles. I said, really? I peered around the corner and there they were. I said, watch this. So our waitress came by and we were about halfway done when they came in. I said, see that older couple over there? I did not call them old. I said, see the older man with the young lady? I said, that's my pastor. I said, I need their bill as soon as they order, but I don't want them to know till I get out of this restaurant. I said, you have to keep this in strictest of confidence because believe me, I could lose my job over this. She looked at me. I said, trust me, you don't know who that is. I do. She said, all right, might take me a little while. She came back and she was serving us. And she said, they haven't ordered yet. I said, it's okay, I'll wait. She came back. She said, they ordered, but I got to get their waitress to get it all tallied up. I said, get it all tallied up. And here's my card, pay for it. So a little while later, she brought the receipt back and I signed it all. And we sneaked out of that restaurant without Brother and Mrs. Heil seeing us. Almost 2 weeks later, on a Sunday morning, Brother Hiles would come to the auditorium to meet with the head maintenance man about temperatures in the auditorium and this, that, Brother Randy Erickson. They would meet. I happened to be in the auditorium with my family, and I was just walking out. I was walking out the long angled aisle, and here come Brother Hiles with a couple security guards. I said, good morning, preacher. How are you? He said, stop. Yes, sir. He said, son, I need to ask you a question, and you better tell me the truth. I said, why would I lie to you? He said, 2 weeks ago, I ate at a certain restaurant. He said, was you there and paid my bill? I said, yes, sir. He said, doggone it. He said, I have worked for 2 weeks to find out who that was. He said, you got me. I said, good. I hope you enjoyed it. He said, you've been driving me nuts for 2 weeks. He said, nobody gets away with it. He said, how'd you do that? I said, you didn't see me. Na, 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 na. And on I went. That was fun. I enjoyed that. And by the way, Brother Hiles had given my wife and I hundreds of dollars worth of gift certificates to go out to eat on while the years I worked for him. There's no way I could outgive the man. But I did have fun. It was hilarious. God says when you give, he'll give back. Look at Proverbs 19. I got to show you this verse. And then I'm going to really, 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 really hurry through the rest of my sermon. Proverbs 19, verse number 17. The Bible says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Circle that word, lendeth. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. When you lend something to the Lord, he pays back, but he also pays back with interest. God says when you take care of the poor, you are lending to God and God will pay you back and he'll pay you with interest. So when you take care of the poor, you're lending to God. He takes note and says, I'll pay you yet again with interest. We're supposed to take care of poor people. I'm not for poor people demanding that we take care of them either. But it's our job to take care of those that are in need. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm not going to go word by word through this thing, but God said he will pay us back with grace. In other words, he'll give us graces because we have paid and given to other people. You know, if you're kind to someone, God will pay you back in kindness. Do you know that if you're forgiving to someone, he'll pay you back in forgiveness? Do you know that if you're in any of the graces of life, if you're kind, if you're ethical, God will pay you back with those very things in abundance. The Bible actually says that you'll increase in your growth. He'll multiply your seed. That's future success. He'll increase your growth, the ability to reproduce in others. And he says you will be enriched. Do you know what the word enriched means? Made wealthy. Some of you look at a bank account as the only way to be wealthy. Happiness can be wealthy. Contentment can be wealthy. Some of you are wealthy and don't know it because you're only looking at your bank account. God says, I'll bless you in so many other ways. Boy, that's good stuff. Next, and I'll finish with this. God wants us to thank him for what he gives us. We read there in 2 Corinthians 9 that if we do those things, it causes us to be thankworthy to God. It causes us to give thanks to God for what he's done. Folks, I want to thank God for what he's done for Grace Baptist Church. You know that Our church has given over $12,000 through our missions into helping other people. You realize our church was used by God, that church in Maine that's going to start here in June. Our church paid for the first month of that. Our insurance man was here that night. We were going to give him a little honorarium. He said, don't know what you're going to give me, but I don't care what to know what it was. I want you to give it that man. Put it on that starting of that church. Amen. Our church is used to help keep that church started for the first 7 weeks of its life. God's good, isn't he? God, we paid cash for that piano right there. Amen, brother? That's a $4,500 piano. God gave us $1,000 off because we paid for it. God gave us a $1,000 gift if we paid for that. By the way, we paid cash for it. That piano's big enough to take us into an auditorium of over 1,000 people that we can hook up, and we're in good shape for a long time to come. We bought a decent one on purpose for future growth. You realize that we paid cash for all of our PA equipment. Amen. Glory to God, and we don't have to carry it everywhere, Brother Brett. You realize that we have purchased over $5,000 worth of chairs for our church. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, but we didn't have anything to sit on when we came into this building. And Walmart and that check cashing joint and I really didn't get along real well for a couple days, but we got through it. You realize that we paid cash for all of our brand new nursery equipment? We moved into a brand new nursery that we paid cash for. Realize that we built two baptistry changing rooms, three Sunday school classrooms, and a wall in the nursery and paid cash for it. Bought a baptistry and paid cash for it. Well, horse tank. God bless Brother Eckert building our new table and Mrs. Eckert for putting all the whirly gigs on that thing. Amen. How beautiful it is. Oh, wait a minute. We've paid cash for all that. You realize we've never had one bill late one time in the history of our church? Matter of fact, when we left the hotels, we had paid in advance so much they paid us money back. Gotta love it. They owed us. We didn't owe them. You realize we've not been late one time on our rent payment for this building. And in the month of February, we had to make two payments. That meant there was over $15,000 that we paid in the month of February just for the rent. Plus, we had a couple weeks of the hotel. Not late, one time. I thank God for that. Could be that's why God's blessing us. Do you realize that we paid cash for all of our office equipment and stuff that we had to get started with? Folks, we didn't have office stuff. Yeah. When I was asked to leave my last place of employment, I wasn't allowed to take everything. And some of the things that were mine, I still left because I felt like it was the thing to do. We started with nothing. God gave us a copy machine for our church. Glory to God. Thanks to Brother Hartman. But we had to buy a computer for the church. We've had to buy software. We had to get our books initiated and started and IRS approved, everything else. Everything's paid for cash. I wrote down a few things of people here that were blessed by God in their giving. I know three different families in here. In a seven-day period, God gave them $2,000 cash or $2,000 savings on a purchase in 7 days. I know in this room, there are people that God paid your bills for you supernaturally. Supernaturally. I had a person in here that had no money coming in. They needed $98 and some change for a bill that was incurred. And they said, Brother Bush, what am I going to do? I said, bring it to me, put it in my office. And I said, God, I need you to pay this. And I'm not sure how. That was on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday night, a man walked in my office, handed me five $20 bills and said, somebody needs help. God touched my heart. Here you go. God's good, isn't he? I know there's a family in our church. Both adults were working in the family. One was transitioning out of work into something else. Another one has a job to where they do a lot of work, but they don't get paid for it all right away. And they've been doing work, but hadn't been getting paid for it yet because it takes time for the turnaround. By the time one left one job, went to the other, and stopped doing what they were doing, guess what? God kicked in the others, and the rest started coming in. That's called God. It's called obedience. God, I've had you people tell me God helped you save thousands of dollars on purchases. And I mean thousands, not just hundreds, thousands. I've had people in here, God miraculously paid your medical bills. Didn't know where it was coming from. All of a sudden it says paid in full, and you're thinking, how'd that happen? Call the hospital, they said, it's already been cared for, don't worry. They can't even understand it. I know a person in here that was supposed to lose their job last fall. They said, preacher, will you pray? We prayed. God extended it a month. Preacher, keep praying. That was November of last year. Their job was to be over here within the next week. And in the last little while, in the last few weeks, God opened the door, moved them right into another job. No transition, just on we go. That's God. Can I tell you something? It's worth being happy about. I can't tell you. By the way, that's not just because of tithing either. That's because of giving offerings. Now, God will bless you for tithing. I believe that. But there's supernatural blessings out there if you'll go beyond the tithe. Pay your bills, be honest, and then get into this realm. You'll live a hilarious life.
Amen.
I'm not kidding. It's fun. It's crazy. Folks, I wished you understood the joy of giving. I'm not asking you to give to me. You are the most giving people that I have. I can't even breathe something that I might even imply that I want. Trust me. I'm not asking you to give to me. I'm just asking you to give. Give to each other. Give to people you don't even know. Be careful. Give it the right way. You know, some drunken bum on the street says, I need $5 to go get breakfast. He's not going to get breakfast that you're going to eat. He's going to drink his breakfast, all right? There is a difference. Be wise with your giving. But may I say this, you'll find a cheerfulness about life when you start giving.
Amen.
I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe God's... And by the way, I don't look at the tithing records. I have no idea what you give. I don't know who gives. But maybe it is that you need to start catching up on your tithe. Maybe you need to start tithing. Maybe it is you just need to start into that realm of giving and sacrificing a little bit and watch God do some blessing.